Welcome in. Today we're going after a very specific drum and bass and jungle bass vibe, that early 93 to 95 flavor, not the modern, super wide, super distorted Reese Wall. This is darker, simpler, more filtered, and it moves in a subtle way. Think rave system, tapish weight, and that rolling under the break feel. By the end of this lesson you'll have a two-layer bass you can reuse, a clean mono sub that never lets you down, and a filtered Reese layer that provides character and motion without taking over the whole track. Then we'll do a little resampling, because honestly, committing to audio is a huge part of why those older basses feel the way they feel. Alright, set your project tempo somewhere in the classic jungle zone, 165 to 170 BPM. If you have a breakbeat loop you like, drop it onto an audio track now. You don't need it, but it helps a lot because the right filter cutoff on a Reese is basically impossible to judge in solo. This era is all about how the bass fills the holes around the break. Now let's build the sub layer first. This is the boring on purpose part. Create a new MIDI track. Load operator. Keep oscillator as a sine wave. Don't overthink it. Turn operator's filter off, because we want the sub clean and consistent. Set it to mono. Make sure you're at one voice. If you want a touch of movement between notes, add a little glide or portamento, something like 40 to 80 milliseconds. Not a big slidey 808 thing, just a little connective tissue. After operator, at EQ8, here's the mindset. The sub track is not allowed to do anything fancy above the low end. If you're hearing extra harmonics or messy upper bass, you can gently low pass, or just make sure there isn't junk above roughly 150 to 200 Hz that's going to fight your Reese and your break. Every sound is allowed to be good at one job. The sub's job is weight and stability. Then add utility and set width to 0%. Hard mono. This is non-negotiable if you want the low end to translate. Leave the gain alone for now, we'll balance it later. Quick coaching note, when you solo the sub, it should feel almost underwhelming. That's a good sign. In the mix it becomes the foundation that makes everything feel expensive. Cool. Now the Reese layer. This is where the 93, 95 character shows up, but we're still going to keep it controlled. Create a second MIDI track and load Waveeatable. If you don't have Waveeatable, you can do the same concept in operator with saw waves, but we'll use Waveeatable for clarity. Set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, and oscillator 2 to a saw wave as well. Now detune. Put oscillator 2 up around plus 7 to plus 15 cents. Start at plus 10. If you want a touch more spread, you can nudge oscillator 1 down a few cents, like minus 5. Keep unison subtle. If you use unison at all, do two voices and keep the amount low. The old school vibe isn't look how wide my synth is, it's look how this tone seems to breathe under the drums. Now add auto filter right after Waveeatable. Set it to a low pass filter at 24 dB. Dart the frequency somewhere in the 200 to 500 Hz range. We're going to modulate it, but start darker than you think. Add a little resonance, maybe 10 to 25%. That little honk can actually be period correct, especially once it's tucked under a break. Then use the drive in auto filter, somewhere like 2 to 6 dB. This is pre-saturation weight. It helps the filter feel a bit more hardware-ish. Now let's add movement using auto filter's LFO. Turn the LFO on. Choose a sine or triangle wave so it stays smooth. Sync the rate to the track. Try 1/8 note or 1/4 note. Keep the LFO amount small, 10 to 25%. This is really important. If the movement is too obvious, you instantly leave 94 and accidentally land in later wobble territory. Think gentle rolling, not look at my LFO. Teacher tip. Pick one main motion source and commit. Beginner stack unison, chorus, phaser, filter LFO, and then wonder why it sounds like a totally different genre. For this lesson, the star is the filter LFO. We can add other stuff later, but we want to hear what this one choice is doing. After auto filter, add saturator. Set the mode to analog clip. Turn on soft clip. Start with about 4 dB of drive and then pull the output down so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. If it sounds cooler only because it's louder, that's not real progress. Saturation here is for thickness and a slightly rude edge, but we're not trying to flatten it into a modern distorted block. Then add EQ8 last on the Reese track. High pass at around 80 to 120 Hz so it stays out of the sub's lane. This is one of the biggest beginner to intermediate moves. You're not making the Reese smaller, you're making the whole bass bigger by letting each layer own its own range. If the Reese is boxy, try a gentle dip around 200 to 350 Hz. If it's too dull, a tiny lift around 700 to 1.2K can help, but be careful. In this era, too much bright mid can make it feel newer than you want. Now group your bass tracks. Select the sub and Reese tracks and group them. Name the group bass. On the group, add glue compressor. Keep it gentle. About 2-to-1 ratio, attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto, and set the threshold so you're only getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is glue, not smash. If you want a little more dirt, you can add drum bus very subtly, drive around 2-to-5, and generally keep boom off for a bass group. Boom is fun, but it can wreck your low-end consistency fast. Now for the big vibe move, resampling. Create a new audio track and call it Reese Resample. Set its input so it records from the Reese track, or even from the whole bass group, if you want the glued version. Arm the track and record 8 bars. You can record held note, or record your bass riff once we write it. The key concept is, once it's audio, you start treating it like an old sample-based workflow. That's a huge part of the feel. On the resampled audio, try redux lightly. Go easy. A little downsample, something like 2-to-6, is often enough. Keep bit reduction at 0 or barely any. We're aiming for slight crunch and age, not video game aliasing. If you notice saturation created fizzy harshness, here's a classic fix. Put another auto filter after the saturator, just as a gentle post-low pass. You're shaving off brittle top, not muffling the entire sound. All right, let's write a bass line. This is where a lot of people overplay. Don't. The drums do the gymnastics in jungle. The bass anchors the hypnosis. Create a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI clip. Put the same MIDI on both the sub and the Reese, at least for now. Pick a key like F minor or G minor. Dark keys tend to feel right for this. For rhythm, think in 16th HS, but keep it simple. Place notes so they create a roll without turning into a melody. One example pattern is hits on beat 1, then a little pickup right after, then a couple syncopated placements later in the bar. The exact grid isn't sacred, but the idea is, mostly short notes, like 8ths or 16ths, and then one longer anchor note that leans into the groove, often on beat 1 or beat 3. Pick wise, restrict yourself. Root note plus one neighbor note is plenty. For F minor, that could be F and Eb. Repetition is the feature, not a limitation. The movement comes from filtering, note length, and performance style mutes. Here's a groove upgrade that's very 94. Keep the same rhythm, but change the note lengths. Make offbeat notes super tight, like a clipped 1/16. Let the anchor hit ring longer. You'll feel the whole line start to push and pull against the break even without adding extra notes. Now let's keep the low end clean with sidechain. On the bass group, add Ableton's compressor. Turn on sidechain and choose your kick track as the input. Set ratio around 4-to-1. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release 80 to 140 milliseconds. Then lower the threshold until you see around 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. Adjust the release to the groove. Too fast can sound nervous. Too slow can feel like the bass is late. Next, make it evolve like the era. Early jungle and early deed NBA often get their arrangement energy from filter moves and mutes, not from adding 10 new layers. Try a simple 32-bar plan. First 8 bars, keep the Reese fairly closed. Maybe the auto filter frequency living around 200 to 300 Hz, so the sub dominates. Bars 9 through 16, open it slightly, maybe into the 400 to 700 zone, and you'll feel the drop lift without changing the riff. Bars 17 through 24, add a few short mute hits, like dropping bass for a quarter bar before a snare fill. That reads like hands-on mixer performance. Bars 25 through 32, open a bit more, maybe to add a touch more saturator drive, and then reset at the next phrase so the contrast stays exciting. And this is a core 93-95 trick, contrast, not complexity. If your Reese is interesting all the time, it won't feel period correct. Let the sub be constant, and let the Reese be occasionally audible, occasionally moving. The listener fills in the rest, and it feels bigger. A few quick don't fall into these traps checks while you listen with the break. If the low end feels messy, it's usually because the Reese still has too much below 100 Hz. High pass it higher until the sub owns the bottom. If it sounds modern and flat, you probably distorted too hard too early. Back off the drive and let the filter do more of the tone shaping. If the bass disappears when you check mono, you've got phase issues from width, unison, or effects. The fastest test, put utility on your master, hit mono while the drop plays, and if the bass collapses, reduce stereo stuff immediately. Keep the sub completely free of widening effects. If you want a tiny bit of width without wrecking the low end, do it only on the Reese and only subtly. A simple move is putting utility last on the Reese track and keeping width somewhere like 70 to 110%, and you can even automate it to widen slightly in busier drum sections. But keep it tasteful. Clubs punish wide low end. Optional variation if you want that old desk performance feel without extra notes. Create two Reese tracks, Reese A and Reese B. On Reese B, set the auto filter cutoff lower and add a touch more resonance. Then alternate which one plays each bar. That call and response gives you motion that feels like performance and resampling, not like modern modulation tricks. Before we wrap, here's a 20-minute practice mission you can repeat until it's muscle memory. Build the sub and Reese exactly like we did. Write a 2-bar riff using only 2 notes. Automate the auto filter frequency over 16 bars. First half slowly opening from about 250 to 400, second half from 400 to around 650. Resample 8 bars of the Reese and add light redux. Then a slash B, original synth Reese versus resampled Reese. Under the break, pick the one that sits better and feels more real in context. Final check. Does the sub feel stable and heavy? Does the Reese feel like it's moving, but not wobbling? If yes, you've basically nailed the foundation of that filtered 93-95 bass flavor. If you tell me which Ableton edition you're on, and whether you want it more jungle rolling or more early tech step edge, I can help you turn this into a reusable rack with mapped macros, like filter, movement amount, drive, and a quick mute performance control.